one of the whole things with this is it's mixing like low art and high art, right? And so like the two main characters, the way that I was viewing it, one of them represented the popular and the low, and the other one was the literal embodiment of privilege and high art.
You're tuning in to Big Guy Small Talk, where we have conversations and not interviews. Although sometimes we do have interviews. Hey, people. Hope you're feeling good today. I don't have a ton of time because this is a big episode, so I'll keep it quick. But it features Lizbeth Ocasio-Rousset, and she is a writer slash professor slash cultural commentator person, whatever you say. But what she does is she likes to write about horror movies and obviously watch them. And she's a professor of rhetoric, so she's hella smart. She's getting her PhD. She'll be done with that soon. And yeah, we talk about horror movies. It was a great episode. You know, we talk about how she got into them. You know, I think a lot of people say they're into horror movies, and then you meet someone like this woman, Lizbeth, and you realize that we're on amateur hour for many things that we like. She is obsessed, and good for her, you know, that she's making a living writing about it, watching horror movies. It's cool. But anyways, just a couple things that we hit on. We talk about Get Out, which is an amazing film. We talk about lesbian pulp fiction, which is something that she's really into and she likes to write about. We talk about Black Mirror, Rick and Morty. We talk about The Nightmare on Elm Street and feminine comics. We just talk about a lot of things. And by feminine comics, I mean rather like the feminist movement in comics and how it's not always well represented. And she has very strong opinions of that, and I love it. But no, it was fun. It was a good episode. I don't want to keep this long, so I'm just going to let you guys get right into it. But if you like it, share it. Hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell someone at a coffee shop. Whatever. Put on Facebook. Your Instagram stories. Your Snap stories. Okay, that's enough. But I hope you enjoy the episode. And without further ado, here is Lizbeth. Enjoy this episode.
I think that.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Yeah, because then you can also look at what prevailing philosophies or ideas, I guess, were big at the time.
Yeah, no, they're a complete reflection of society.
Like always. The 60s and 70s were big for the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. Right? The music, I'm obsessed with these like synthesizers right now. I can't like get over them using synthesizers in horror movies.
Yeah.
Like in the scores. I, like, can't get over it. That, to me, is so, like, new wave. And it's, like, driving me nuts in the best way.
For which movies, though? Like, when did that happen?
I can't tell you exactly when it started. But I'm writing this article right now for this website called The Horror Queen. And so what I did was made a list of, like, five campy movies that I like. Campy horror movies that I like.
Save this. And 3, 2, 1. We're in. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Lizbeth Ocasio-Rousset, currently a PhD student and rhetoric instructor at UT Dallas.
Right on. Yeah. And you do what? Like, what are you studying?
PhD in humanities.
Yeah.
A lot of emphasis on pop culture.
Right, yeah. So that's what we're going to be chatting about today. And you were telling me about synthesizers in horror movies, right?
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
I don't know what's up with it, but I love it.
Okay.
It's like... It's like new vintage, right? So you have these like 80s and 70s sounding scores in these horror movies, but it works so well. I feel like it works so well. And it's also giving the genre a little bit of freshness. It's a little bit stagnant, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I was mentioning earlier is that I kind of talk about this a little bit in this article I'm writing for this website. It's called The Horror Queen.
Yeah.
And I got these five movies from 2000 onward, like the best, like, campy horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that I find are pretty good. And I kind of do, like, a little analysis of each one, the things I like in them. And that's one of the things that I mentioned is this movie called Patchwork that uses them heavily, The Final Girls, Strangers That Prey at Night, not that great of a film overall, but it has one amazing scene that is totally worth watching.
Yeah. So the synthesizers started or are around what era?
Like originally?
Yeah, like traditionally.
Like, I always associate it with like the 80s and the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, late 70s and then in the 80s. It's always, because it's so much, it's so pervasive in like new wave music, which is what the 80s were like about.
Right.
I mean, at least on the pop, very pop culture scale, right?
Right.
And I mean, the 80s have always been like a chic thing or like a cool vintage thing.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Wow, why is that weird?
I think because I was, well, one, I was born in the 80s.
I was too.
Right. And yeah. So it wasn't like a time that I
don't know or didn't live in.
Yeah, but I also just don't, it was young, you know, so right. I didn't know like the big stuff going on.
Yeah.
I knew Michael Jackson, obviously, because everyone knew Michael. But
of course.
Like the fashion in the 80s was just like terrible.
Oh my God. I love it.
It's weird, but it's coming back. Yeah, like
it is back.
The side ponies are coming back.
It's been back, man. Yeah. And it's great. I love, because before you used to have to go to an 80s party, right? But yeah. Now you just go out and you're like, yeah, I can rock this. Like anywhere, it's fine.
Yeah, it's, and so I guess that is what, it's unusual that is the era we, I guess it's better than like the disco era.
Yeah, that would be something else. I mean, wait for it. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Well, I think like in the 2000s, we saw a lot of styles from that era come back, right? Like the big pants. What do they call them?
The bell bottoms.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had bell. I think I still might have bell bottoms.
It's, you rock the bell bottoms every once in a while.
Yeah, dude, you gotta rock the bell bottoms. They had like these shirts with the.
Those flaring sleeves.
The flaring sleeves. I had a couple of those, too. That did happen in the 2000s.
Yeah, that was big in, like, the 2000s. That made a pretty big comeback. Yeah. And then JNCO jeans sort of...
I didn't really see people using those. Like, in the 90s, I was in Puerto Rico, mostly.
Oh, okay.
And so that's, like, one thing in American pop culture that I'm like, I really don't associate these random jeans with the 90s as much as other people. Like, yeah, JNCOs.
Like, if a kid was in JNCOs, you know, he had a troubled story. That was like what it was associated with, grunge and punk.
It was a marker for
heavy metal
struggle.
Yeah,
you know, the struggle of the teenage male.
I listened to Disturbed and
of course you did.
Of a Down.
Yeah, I love Disturbed was great.
Yeah, that was the thing. So you look at movies and you, I don't know, like watching a movie's got to be very different for you, right? Does it annoy people to watch movies with you, or do they like watching movies with you?
Well, it depends. The good thing is that I know, it depends on the person, right? Yeah. So if I sit with my boyfriend or my sister, I can discuss stuff and they don't care. They love it.
Yeah.
So it depends on who I'm with. If I know someone just likes to sit and watch, like I'll keep my mouth shut. But the way that I watch it, and I was discussing this with my boyfriend the other day, like he'll just watch a movie and just like legit just like blanks out and like watches the screen. Yeah. And I'm like thinking about so many things. I'm mm-hmm. watching this movie, often pulling out my phone and like trying to jot down notes and stuff.
Dang.
Yeah. And eventually I use them. They manifested now in like this article, a whole bunch of notes I had in my phone.
Oh wow.
So like watching a movie to me is like brain work.
Yeah. Dang. And like it's got to be hard to turn that off, right?
I can't. Well,
because you
I
have
can't.
A passion for it.
Yeah, you know? No, I can't turn it off. That's the it's thing. Like that's the problem. I don't know how to turn it off.
And so horror is your favorite genre, right?
Yeah.
So walk me through how you got into horror, because it's a. Was it? Well, I'll just let you talk.
Yeah. The funny thing is that my parents were really strict. They were really strict, and they didn't let me watch like violent things. Yeah. Or anything. So if I wanted to watch a horror movie, I had to sneak around or like find one on the TV one day. Like it was crazy, but sneaking behind their back, I managed to watch like Gremlins, which I loved. Yeah. I thought it was great. But the one that did it, like did everything for me, was Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm. When I got a hold of that movie, I was about 11 or 12, and that was it. Like, that began my love affair with horror.
That movie scared the shit out of me.
And I was just like, oh, my God, this is so great.
Oh, my God. That's so terrifying.
It changed my life.
What about it did you love the most? Other than it's scary as fuck.
I've thought about this a lot, mostly because I wanted to explain to my mom why I love horror and have her not think that I'm, like, a psychopath. And I thought about Freddy in particular, and I think the really dope thing about Freddy is that you can't get away from him, like, at all. Like, one of the most essential things a human being needs, sleep. And that's where he gets you.
Yeah.
It is such a creative and, like, cheeky kind of... Because he's, like, sassy. He's kind of like an angry drag queen a little bit. Like, he's really sassy. Like, he's such a diva in his world. He likes to control and, like, manipulate people. And, of course, like, the different ways that he comes up to, like, get rid of people is always fun.
Yeah. It was Saw before there was a Saw, as far as that
exactly,
goes.
Exactly. It was, like, the original Saw, and they did it better.
Because was... Oh my god, I'm not good with titles and stuff with movies. But what was the horror movie with the dude in the ski mask or the hockey mask?
Like Jason? Yes. Like Friday the 13th?
Yeah. What came first? Friday the 13th or
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't, but I...
Because I was going to say Nightmare on Elm Street. Like
they're both early 80s, aren't they? Right, or is one in the 70s? Because if one was in the 70s...
If any of them are in the 70s, it's going to be... Friday the 13th.
I feel like Friday the 13th happened first. Yeah. I really
do. And that is scary, but he kills them all the same way, right?
Yeah.
He hacks them with a machete.
It's you know, great and everything, but it's like a completely different kind of horror experience. It's more of the like suspense and just kind of like the buildup of the tension. I would like...
Whereas Freddy's like
he's very like shock value and like
you
wow,
feel like you're getting chased the entire
movie. The entire time and it's like flashy scary. It's like ooh it's this and Jason is just kind of like really monotonous always that first hated that first one Friday the 13th I didn't like it
why
I just thought it was boring
yeah.
I thought it was boring. I feel like maybe I should watch it again.
There are a lot of movies like that, like Star Wars: A New Hope.
I don't think I've seen
it. Episode 4. It's the very first Star Wars movie ever made.
This is great because I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt, I don't know that much
but
about
that
Star
movie,
Wars.
Like, I watched as a kid and loved it, and I watch it now, and I'm like, it's kind of slow.
It kind of sucks.
Like, it's slow. I mean, we just have better technology now. We got to do cool stuff. Like, Yoda's way cooler now that he can do flips and stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of just he was pretty dope.
He was.
A New Hope.
But. I just watched the Last Jedi, like, the newest one that came out. Surprisingly liked it quite a bit.
Okay.
And when they showed Yoda, he kind of looked old school and I loved it.
Yeah, they switched it because I think in the first three movies that they made, right, the prequels, no one liked that they changed Yoda that much.
Was he like CGI Yoda in those?
He was too hard CGI. yeah. And so I think that they listened to the fans.
That good. It was a good call.
Yeah, it was a good call.
It's really
so,
good call.
So anyway, so you snuck out, you'd watch these, or you'd sneak around and watch these horror movies, and then you fell in love with Nightmare on Elm Street.
I did.
Yeah, and then from there, it just, like, took off.
It just took off. Like, after that, it was, every time we would go to, like, the mall, I'd go to, like, Borders or Barnes & Noble, I don't remember which one was there, and I would always go to the movie section and, like, pick out a movie to buy. And once I started having, like, my own money, like, I would go and I'd, like, buy the first Nightmare on Elm Street. And then I'd buy the second and the third. And eventually, like, I started, having my own little collection, like, low-key.
Right.
Eventually, they accepted it. Like, they knew what was going on. They just have to let it happen.
Was there, like, Hot Topic in Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy, was there Hot Topic in Puerto Rico.
Were you all over that scene?
I wasn't. No.
You weren't. Okay. That's what I'm wondering, like,
no.
What kind of teenager you were.
Well, that's
like,
the
if you're
funny
into
thing.
Horror.
I was, like, the dorkiest. Like, I was a student athlete. Like, I didn't drink. I didn't do anything because my parents were really strict. And honestly, like, they didn't need to make me study. Like, I was just, like, a voluntary nerd. And I was, like, really bubbly. Like, I was just, like, really bubbly and, like, really friendly and, like, obsessed with Freddy Krueger. It was, it was a little weird.
Yeah, that's, I always wonder that because I guess where I'm from, that's, like, a subculture. Like, that whole everything's black kind of culture and horror gets lumped into that.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing back home, too.
That stereotype?
No, I didn't. I was, like... Man, I'd look stupid if I wore stuff like that. Like, I remember once we went to Hot Topic, two of my friends, just to try on some clothes. And I was like, I could never walk out of here in these dresses. Like, there's the weirdest.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, power to them, but it just wasn't my scene.
Yeah. I feel like West Texas is the reason Hot Topic still has business. Because, like, I go back home and it's all about grungy and punk. And
Really? So you're from West?
West,
like the
not
town
West.
Of West or?
No,
oh, okay.
No, like the area.
Oh, okay.
Like, West Texas. Believe it or not.
He's from West, and he always says
yes. West. Oh, he's from West.
Yeah. So I never know when people mean, like, the town or
from the Permian area. Basin, I guess, is where I'm from. But it is weird, man. And then, like, horror has changed a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Especially over the last, I would say even since I was a teenager to now it's changed.
Massively.
Like, from even Paranormal Activity, I think, that was when it started.
That was, like, groundbreaking. Yeah. I know what reasons. There's a ton of reasons. It's amazing. But oh,
that's great. I want you to talk about it, but I want to tell you one thing about it. I thought it was real.
You did?
Because it said it was real. I didn't know it was, like, a movie that was fake that said it was. I knew it was a movie, but I thought.
We were in college when this came out, didn't we?
Right. Right. Okay, I was dumb.
Just checking.
I thought it was a movie about a real event. Like,
right.
So I was
like, they had document, like, legit documents.
No, not legit, but like this thing really happened. Based on actual events. And we're going to make a movie based on it.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, all that really happened.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it didn't.
Yeah. So, funny story. You heard of a movie called The Fourth Kind?
No.
Okay. It's another horror movie. It's one of these alien kind movies.
Yeah.
And when you watch, it's got Mila Jovovich in it. Okay. Resident Evil chick, which is amazing. And when it starts, it's her, and she's like, hi, like, my name is Mila Jovovich. I'll be portraying Dr. Such and Such, Abigail something. And she says, what you're about to see is, like, based on actual events, and we have actual stock footage from Abigail's files, whatever. And you go, and you see and it's so intense and so terrifying. And they'll split screen and say, like, this is actual footage. And it looks like legit actual footage from the 90s. And then, like, the reenaction. And you watch the whole thing. The ending is insane. The way they leave you is insane. So I legit thought this happened.
Because what's it about?
So the protagonist, she's a renowned therapist. I don't know if she's a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But the point is, she works with people maybe that deal with trauma. Because the people that are coming to her are having, like, these issues. And so she puts them under. Like, she does a type of psychosis to kind of get them to remember things that they can't remember when they're awake. I guess things they've buried or things that have been buried, you know?
Yeah.
So she does that, and she starts getting these testimonies from these people, like the same testimony. So she starts investigating what's going on. Her husband, I don't want to, like, ruin the movie. Am I allowed to, like, give spoilers or no?
I mean, is it an old movie?
It was in college, too, when I was in college.
You can spoil it.
Okay, yeah. So her husband is dead, but they're telling you that he's been murdered. And as the movie progresses and she's getting more closer, like, to the aliens or whatever, you start finding out that really she, like, blocked out the fact that he killed himself.
Oh.
But he killed himself as a consequence of the interaction with aliens, this whole thing. And her daughter gets abducted, like, straight disappears from the house. And that's kind of where they leave you. And they do an interview with the supposed actual doctor. And she's, like, all frail and in, like, a wheelchair and, like, on the verge of tears the entire time. And so I didn't know it was a mockumentary until, like, years later. I look it up and it's like, yeah, the mockumentary. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That didn't happen. I felt so cheated. And I was like, I was so scared for nothing, man.
Yeah. Because when you see that and they're telling you it's real, it changes. There's like a security blanket of knowing none of this is real when you're watching horror. Yes, like, exactly. If you're scared, always remind yourself it's not real.
Exactly.
But then when they're telling you, like, no, this happened, you're like, oh, shit. You're like, this could happen to me. Like,
fuck. I, like, don't ever want to sleep anymore. Like, that movie really terrified the crap out of me. You should check it out.
That's how I felt with, so when I was watching Paranormal Activity, I came back, because my roommate at the time was out of town, so I came back to an empty apartment.
Oh, gosh.
I slept with all the lights on that night.
Yeah, I was like, why not? I slept with the lights on, the TV on.
Yeah.
I had my best friend on call. We went together in Times Square, so then we had to take the subway all the way back. This is when we watched Paranormal Activity.
Oh, God.
And I had to go to, like, my room, and I was so terrified. I remember I put on Family Guy to see if it would, like, but I didn't sleep a lot. I kept texting her, like, hey.
That was a good movie.
It was so good.
So, what did it do that changed? Oh, also, just watching you hit the table.
Oh,
just hit it lightly, because these will pick up.
My very emphatic.
It's all good.
Italian gestures.
Yeah. Do you, though? But just do you softly.
Okay. Got it.
But gently. No. But What was so crazy about Paranormal Activity, in your opinion?
Well, besides what you just mentioned, the realism of it, because it really did look great. It looked amazing. And the performances were amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it was just how real they made it. There was no music at all. There's no score. You just get, like, ominous sounds sometimes, right? When the entity is, like, close.
Yeah.
But, That's crazy. So that level of realism, and since they're doing it and they're doing it themselves on the camera, I think it's that level of realism that kind of made that so successful. And the way that they thought to introduce the presence, right? The way that one scene when she leaves the kitchen, comes back, and everything is open.
Yeah.
Though things like that, they thought to do really menial things, but menial things that if you saw that happen in your house, you'd be like, you know? So I really just think there was a lot of creativity in terms of that, and just the realism. It was really realistic.
It was really realistic. And it was smart that they picked, you know, actors no one knew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They didn't put anyone... Well, because the budget was really low for it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like 10 grand or something.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Like, the first Saw didn't have a big budget either. It was something like... And they were both, like, massive successes.
Yeah, the first Saw was good.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you, minimalism in horror can be really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that movie. That might have been one of the last horror movies, because I don't watch horror anymore. Mm-hmm. Just kind of... Just don't ever.
Why?
I don't. Yeah, like, I was watching The Purge a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I can't deal. Like, I just don't like this.
Was it the first one?
Or... Yeah, it was the first
one. Okay.
But I just don't like movies. I don't know. It's just, it's hard for me to sit and watch that. But I was captivated, though, also. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to watch it, but I was like, do I really need to see this? And I was like, But it was an interesting storyline, though, and I like the way that I like the idea of it. I don't know the new Purges, but I just like... It's a very original kind of theme.
I loved it. The first one...
Yeah.
I thought the same... I thought it was so original. I was like, what a great premise. It's a fantastic premise. The second one, meh.
Yeah.
The third one... I think this is the third one. I recently watched it in theaters, and it... I thought it was not going to be very good, but it was pleasantly surprising. Like... thoughtful. Like,
yeah,
it's surprisingly thoughtful.
It's the one that's about the way it started, right?
Yes, about the first Purge. And they made it so that when they started the Purge, it's like a contained experiment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In New York. I forget what borough that was. It Staten Island? I don't know. The point is that they're gonna do it there. People can leave if they want, but they'll get paid if they stay, like 10 grand or something, right? And this isn't a very poor area. So already you're starting to see the social commentary in this. And so people stay, sure. But as the purge commences, no one's doing anything. They're just partying. Like, there are block parties everywhere. And there's only, like, one insane dude on the loose that killed, like, one guy. Everyone else is, like, just, like, partying or, like, trying to stay safe. And you see, like, all the, like, the higher-ups, like, they're not doing anything. What do? We need to get something going. So they send in people as if they were civilians, but they're really military, to start wiping people out to get it going. And that's how they managed to get the purge going. They had to send the military in to pretend to be, because people didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. And I love the fact that they made that choice in the movie.
Yeah. That's a real thing, though.
Right?
Too, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Like, you can hire protesters. You can hire actors to protest for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can,
I mean, wasn't it... I think our country, like, in the... During the Cold War, they never went through with it, but it's been declassified that they were going to do some sort of... Have military essentially, like, stage an attack with Cuba...
Yeah.
To engage in war with them.
My God.
And it was like that. I mean, shit, like, that's real, man.
It's a real thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you see it in movies and you're just like, oh my God, that's so insane. And then you're like, wait, no. Like, stuff like this actually happens.
Whew. Yeah, so I might watch it now. That's really interesting.
If you watch it through that lens and just kind of see what they do that's interesting and different, it really is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really is. I rewatched Get Out, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Because of what you told me last time.
Oh, yeah. Which was what?
That, well, you said that you would watch, like, interviews with Peele talking about the movie and saying that he was trying to make, like, a cult horror classic for the black community. Because they don't really have them.
Right, yeah. He said that in a Colbert interview.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, my gosh. So I went and rewatched it through that lens, and I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
It's great.
It's fantastic when you think about it correctly. It's so good.
Yeah, because there's horror in being the only black person just in at a party with a bunch of white people.
It was genius.
You see old, like, young black men married to these old white ladies. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about it. Like, you kind of predict what's going on.
Right.
But that's not a problem, because the point of the movie isn't to be fooled.
Right.
And I think that's why I didn't like it when I first went in, is because people were making it sound like it was groundbreaking. I was like, nothing that he did in here is any different from, like, any other horror movie. When you're just thinking about, like, cliches and tropes. But then you told me that, and I was like, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny because he does horror, but the whole time it's not dark. It's, like, light. They're in this nice home. Mm-hmm. They're in this beautiful area.
The contrast.
Right. The like it's, and so visual, it's almost like a horror film for black people. It doesn't have to be dark and gloomy.
Exactly. It's just like reality.
Yeah.
Reality is the horror movie. Yeah. Like,
yeah, so it was really cool seeing how he did that, because I think that's why it was so easy for me to watch it, because we were talking about this earlier, I don't like kind of dark movies.
Yeah,
just like visually dark, and that was easy for me to watch because it's not one of those movies.
Yeah, but no, it's so good.
It's terrifying. It's a good movie.
It's very good.
He did a good job with that, man. I really like his work in general. He's a good writer. He's a good comedy writer. When he was on Mad TV, he was really good.
I didn't know he was on Mad TV.
Yeah, he was on Mad TV. So
then I stopped watching when I was, like, in the 7th grade, I think. I think that's when I stopped.
Yeah, so are there any other genres you're really into that fascinate you, or is horror kind of like the... Because...
I feel like I love horror the most, but I love musicals a lot. Yeah. Like, adore them.
I wanted to ask you this other thing about horror, because we were talking about this, and... You said there's, like, a Pulp Fiction, like, an underground, oh, my God, is it lesbian?
Lesbian Pulp Fiction, yeah.
What is that?
Well, I don't know that much about it. I've only read two books that are, like, that are considered these, like, pulp, lesbian pulps. One I read
what
in
is,
class.
What does Pulp Fiction mean? Just...
because, like, I think to me, because I feel like if I give you, like, I'm like gonna give you an incorrect definition. I can tell you what it means, like, to me, what I feel like it means, right? It's just kind of really popular, relatable, kind of cheap. It's always associated with being, like, affordable, because that's the thing with, like, the lesbian pulps. They became really prevalent because they were cheap and you could buy them and just read them. So a lot of people, and since they were, like, saucy, the biggest demographic that bought them were actually men. And so pulp kind of got this association, with kind of like divey, kind of very popular, like not high end, the opposite of, like, high art, basically.
Right.
Like it, like, requires no skill.
It's almost like a toilet version of...
The toilet version of, like, literature.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
And that's incorrect, I'm assuming. Like, it shouldn't be that way,
It shouldn't be that way. It's, and one of the things I was, because this was in a postmodernism class, it's very rough to get through, but she was, I forgot what I was going to say. We're talking about the lesbian pulps.
Yeah, it's just seeing it as a lower kind of.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that kind of association that they have with it, and this movie, the book that we read, which is The Price of Salt, also known as Carol, and that movie came out in 2015.
Okay.
And it was, I think it was nominated. I don't think it actually won the Academy Awards, but it was nominated. And the movie was actually a very good version of the book. Like, they did a really good job.
Okay.
But one of the whole things with this is it's mixing, like, low art and high art, right? And so, like, the two main characters, the way that I was viewing it, one of them represented the popular and the low, and the other one was the literal embodiment of privilege and high art.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I came to it kind of with a Bourdieuian context, thinking about power differences and power struggles between classes and stuff. Yeah, and
that's a weird way to watch a horror movie.
I think that's
kind of cool though.
It would be good to apply that more to horror movies and movies like Get Out. You can apply that to.
Yeah.
You can really do. One of the good things about Freddy is that I don't really need to think that much.
Yeah.
It's one that I can watch. Like, I can turn off a little bit and, like, watch. I think maybe that's one of the reasons I love, like, cheesy horror.
Okay.
You know?
Do you like the horror movies today? Like, the ones coming out for the teenagers and stuff?
Not the A-list ones. Not like the
Mary
ones.
Mary ones or whatever.
Yeah, the ones coming out in theaters, no. Like, not very much. I'll watch them. Like, The Purge, that one was all right. It was pretty good. But the best horror movies I'm liking now are, like, B-list horror movies.
Yeah.
That come out on, like, Netflix or Hulu. And you start watching it and you think it's going to be terrible. And then it's, like, a pleasant surprise.
What do you consider Black Mirror?
Black Mirror?
Do you watch that?
I do. I've seen it so many times.
We did talk about this, right?
It's, like, our generation's Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's a little bit of horror. It's a little bit of sci-fi. You know?
Yeah, and anytime you feel safe, like, oh, this is a pleasant episode, it just gets really...
Oh, my God, dude. That's the most intense one.
Game Over is so good.
That I mentioned to everyone, it's traumatic, dude.
Yeah.
It is traumatic. It's legit hard to watch.
It is a hallway of endless doors where every door is a different ending and every ending is sad.
Yes. It's like, oh... It sucks. No, wait. It sucks more. Yeah. It sucks more.
Yeah.
There was one... I think it was the last season. I felt like it was a lot of that.
Yeah, so I want to explain this episode. If you haven't seen Black Mirror, just watch it and listen to the spoiler, because it's a great episode.
Yeah.
But Black... So what happens is this guy, he loses his dad, and he just goes on this trip to, like, find himself for a year. He travels for a year. So he's, like, this well-off white kid... Or he's from a well-off family or whatever. Yeah. And he runs out of money. Or someone takes his money or something in England, like fraud or whatever. But he has to find money real quick. So he signs up to play this game. And he gets like $500 or something for playing it.
He's like a tester.
Right. And so he goes there for a day. And they make him give his cell phone up or turn off his cell phone. Mm-hmm. And he turns it on to take a picture. So that way he can, like, sell it. Well, his mom calls, and then the girl turns off his phone again, and you see him play the game, and it's essentially, like, a virtual reality thing where he's in a house, and his mind is, like, creating scary shit for him to see.
Yeah, like, the game is, like, downloaded into his head.
Right.
Like, there's that little device. So it's, like, in his head.
Right, and so it'll just start creating things for him, and it learns kind of what scares him.
It's, like, AI video game.
Yeah, and then...
Crazy.
He freaks out, and then they end up taking him back, and then he wakes up, and he's been in the office the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, like, he never went to the house, he never did any of that, and you're just like, oh, shit, he never went, he's just freaking out, and then it shows him, like, almost, in a vegetable-like state.
Very stoic, just kind of...
Yeah, he's not saying anything,
yeah.
And then he calls his mom to go back home, and he gets back home, and his mom... is like just on the bed looking at the window, sitting down, and he just says, mom, like he can't get her attention, and then it flashes to him back in the original room he was in where they turned off his cell phone
in goddamn Europe still,
and his mom is like calling him, and he's like having, before they even downloaded the game into his brain, he's panicking, and he dies right then.
Yeah.
So the game was only 0.04 seconds, but all of that happened in his head.
Yeah.
In that short amount of time.
And he basically like shorted out.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was a crazy episode. And it's I just remember watching it like, this is some sad. Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
The dude died.
It was intense.
It's a great show, man. I'm glad they made it. I like seeing the blend of, like, how creative we can get with technology, essentially.
Yeah. You know? No, it's cool that they're all, like, mini-movies, you know? They're all, like, self-contained, so you can watch any number of them, and they can... It's, like, endless what they can do with the show. I hope they continue it.
Yeah. Are you going to write anything about it ever?
I want to. I want to write about... Have you seen San Junipero? It's the same season.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite episode. And I've seen it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it because it'd be embarrassing. But I think it's brilliant. And it has a lot of that aesthetic that I've been raving about with the neon and the synthesizers. And they legit go back to the 80s, of course. Right. They're in the 90s. And this whole fun idea was amazing. Their relationship is amazing. The kind of morality that comes into question here, you know. And even the end, because the end is like good, but like not really, because they're together, right, in San Junipero, and they're like dancing, and it's like intercut of them dancing, and then the credits, but then all of a sudden it's intercut them, and then the facility where they store all of the little devices, like where their consciousnesses. And you're kind of like, oh yeah, they're together forever, and then you're like, oh my god,
they're together forever.
Yeah. Like, forever.
Their conscious never gets to chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Like, in this facility. And so you're like, and it's all like, ooh, baby, do you know? And then you're like, yeah.
And it's creepy.
No, just kidding. Don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's like those scenes in, it's like the equivalent of a scene in a horror movie where they play like a music box.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be something that soothes you and it just makes it eerie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's, and it was cool because it's like heaven is a place on earth.
Exactly. And you'd think, oh my gosh, I'd catch that the first time. No, like maybe six times watching the episode, I was finally like, oh my god, of course heaven is a place on earth.
Yeah.
And that's like my favorite song of all time. So as soon as I heard that song in that like episode, I was just like,
yeah. I mean, it also, like, if you think about it, makes you question, are you religious at all?
I am, actually, yes.
Yeah, like, what is heaven? Like, is this heaven?
Yeah, because I'm Catholic as well.
Is heaven creepy? Like, is heaven scary?
Like what? Or really just, like, what would be my heaven? And, like, what would I do? Like,
that's for eternity.
Eternity. Like, no pressure, you know? No pressure. And you're, like, you're getting to the end of your life, and it's kind of dope that you can live on, but then you're like, wait, would I want to do that?
Right. Because they're enjoying things.
And are you doing something that's, like, against God's plan, right? Not to get, like, preachy, but, like, if you... Because it's a different death. You're basically... You're, like,
like what dodging. They're doing.
Yeah, you're completely dodging the natural cycle of, like, life. Like, your body's gone, but...
Your consciousness is
You're kind of, like, still alive. So
yeah,
like,
I wasn't talking about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, but that's why when I think about it in terms of religion, it's that. I'm like, is that, like, because do you ever go to God's heaven? Or are you just going to be stuck in this loop? Do I stay here just in case?
Yeah.
We don't know what's on the, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I asked that question on another podcast I was on, and I was telling the person, you know, if we can put someone's consciousness on a hard drive, is that hard drive a person? Like, does it have rights? Does it...
If it's sentient?
Does it have rights? I don't know. Exactly. I don't know the answer. It's just, it's a... Are we going to have laws that protect AI one day?
I feel like there will be. You know there's going to be people like, equal rights for AI. Like, equal rights for AI. Which is, I don't want to live to see that, bro. I really don't. Because I will freak out. I'll be like, I told you, Skynet! Yeah. Skynet! You know?
Yeah, it'll be freaky. But it'll be freaky. I guess what I was talking about was, like, as someone who would like to believe in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Would have, I mean, because you see what it is to live in eternity, and you get like a good glimpse of they're doing this shit just forever.
Yeah.
Is that something that's is appealing? Like, yeah, like, is like heaven better be awesome for, to be able, and I'm not trying to like bash heaven or hell or whatever.
Yeah.
But it should make you think, like, what are we going to be doing for eternity that we will always think this is a good thing and that we're not. Yeah.
Maybe when you're in heaven, you just feel like you're on Molly all the time. Maybe. And that's what it... Because if you felt like that all the time, you really wouldn't care how long this party's going, you know?
Yeah, so it's a good... That was a great... It's a great episode.
It's unbelievable.
And it's also great because it's creepy in a very, like, different way.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes you think about your, like, mortality.
Yeah.
Which is, like, oh my god. It's, like, the worst thing you can do to someone like me because then I can't turn that off. So I'll watch this episode and I'll feel weird for like an hour.
Right.
Just like thinking about it and like just like ruminating in the...
Yeah. You watch Rick and Morty?
Yes. Yeah, we got a Rick up there too.
Oh, right on. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I dig it. That's a show that gets you to question your mortality and your.
It gets you to question everything.
Yeah, it's an existentialist show.
Nothing matters. It's a complete like existential.
It's
show.
Existential, and then I think he's like a nihilist or something.
Yeah,
like Rick is. He's like none of this matters.
Literally none of this matters.
Everything
yeah.
he says and. That show, like, if you watch it enough and you try to take its message seriously, like, it'll mess with you a little bit.
It messes with you a lot.
And you know that Dan Harmon, like, he just laughs probably.
Oh, definitely. he is Rick. Like, yeah. He's, like, knows he's fucking with everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone loves his show. It's fantastic. My boyfriend once told me if I didn't give a shit about anything or, like, consequences, that I would be like Rick. And at first I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like, wait a minute. Are you insulting me low-key? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, kind of good, but like, not really.
Yeah, no, that's a great show. Do you plan on doing, or I guess, what are your plans? Because right now you're writing this article mm-hmm. about sort of the music and horror, right?
Oh, it's about campy horror coming back.
Okay, yeah. And so what else do you plan on writing about? Like, what are you seeing now? That you're like, oh, man, I'm going to write something on this in a year or something, whenever this kind of starts flushing itself out.
I have notes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, because...
We don't script the questions here, people.
Yeah, we don't, but...
I just got a skill.
Look at this. It's unbelievable. Oh, I'm so prepared.
Damn, she has notes.
Yeah.
Notes I'm on not notes.
Like, look at this. This is what I do when I watch movies.
Racks
I,
on
like,
racks.
Take Let's all these it. Notes. Well, like new stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, or I guess like what are you seeing now?
Well, okay, I can tell you what I'm really excited about.
Yeah,
that's coming up: Bohemian Rhapsody, the Freddie Mercury movie, the Queen movie, rather. It's gonna be unbelievable. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be like I don't know if people are gonna appreciate it. I know that the critics will, I'm sure, but like that movie's gonna change my life, and I knew it when I saw the trailer. The trailer is unbelievable.
What about the trailer did you love?
Okay, the first thing I loved was how they mixed the music.
Yes.
They did a really dope kind of mix of the most popular Queen songs for the trailer in a very interesting way. And, of course, the main actor, he looks so good as Freddie Mercury. And as you see him moving, he moves just like him.
Yeah.
So when I saw him, I got goosebumps because I was like, this is probably the closest I'll ever get to experiencing like a Freddie Mercury. And Freddie Mercury is huge icon, like huge for me. The other day I heard for the first time The Show Must Go On, which I don't know how I didn't know that it was a Queen song. And I heard him sing it and dude, I just started crying. Yeah. I just started crying because that I know he wrote that at a time in his life, you know, he had HIV is the whole thing. So I was listening to the song. I was like, oh my God, this man was suffering so much and he was such a genius.
Yeah,
and
he
didn't know what to do about it.
It must have been crazy to witness that in that era.
Yeah, like, and just the people around him, right? Like his bandmates and everyone. There's a part in the trailer where one of the bandmates, or just someone's like, Freddie, you need to slow down. And like that part alone, I was like, oh my God, this movie's gonna rock so hard. It's gonna be so good.
I think so too.
It's gonna be so good. So that's what I'm most excited about right now is that.
Yeah, same. I'm pretty pumped about that movie. Mm-hmm. I love Freddie Mercury. It's funny because, do you know the band Fun?
I think I, yeah, the Tonight. Those guys.
So I hated them. And then my girlfriend really likes them. And she was like, I like them because they remind me of Queen. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, Queen would make a song and then like the song would just be a different song. Yeah. Like at some point the song would completely change. She's like, Fun does that a lot in their music. Mm,
oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, I never even put that together. So now I like, if you like bands that are similar to Queen, check out Fun and try to listen to them in that lens.
Yeah, you know? I will, because I kind of forgot about that band.
Yeah,
they have that one really big song, one or two.
Yeah, and then Nate Strus or whatever went solo.
Oh,
so he makes his own music now, the lead singer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a good, but I hated them, but then when you listen to them like that, you know, it gives you an appreciation. Queen was great. It's hard for me to pinpoint one, because there wasn't one thing that just made them a good band.
Yeah. You know? And one of the reasons I'm excited about this movie is because I want to learn more about them, but I really want to do it visually, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if I know that the movie's coming out, I'll watch it, and then I'll probably definitely try to find a biography. And if he has an autobiography, I'm gonna flip out.
Yeah.
And read it. That's what I did with The Runaways. I watched the movie, and mm-hmm. then I read the book, and I started reading more and more about them. So I'm excited to get to know more about the dynamic with the band, because I really don't know anything about that, at least with Queen. Like, yeah. What I know is just, like, their music and the overtones of, like, his like, legendary status. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he blew up. It was just crazy how he made, I think, around 2010, when memes came back, and he became a meme.
Yeah.
That almost, like, brought back his popularity.
Hey, that's a really...
You know what I mean?
That would be a paper worth writing.
Because, like, kids didn't really know who Freddie Mercury was.
They found out.
But they knew this meme.
Yeah.
And adults would be like, oh, that's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Who's Freddie Mercury? Oh, Queen. Listen to this awesome music.
Yeah.
And then kids are, like, into Queen. Like, yeah. That's what is bringing this documentary back. Yeah. That's what... I mean, maybe back's the wrong word. Maybe Queen never died, but...
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, relevant to listen to Queen in 2007.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Like, the 2000s were not, like, a big time for Queen, and now sort of it's coming back. And I think memes are one of the best political or, like, social commentaries that there exists. And
yeah.
A lot of people, because memes started, if you look at, oh, God, Shepard Fairey, the artist. Do you know him? Mm-mm. He paints the Obey sign.
Oh.
He's got that Andre the Giant icon, and it says Obey under it. Uh-huh. Well, he took that style from another guy who did this stuff in, like, the 80s and the 70s.
Huh.
And he would take, like, a Ronald Reagan poster or picture and do some digital work to it and then write something about war money on it, like it was a meme, and then he would hang it up.
Yeah,
like, that's what a meme is. It's a picture of something that we all know.
Yeah,
with a message on it. It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now everyone can make memes.
Yeah,
you know
they're gonna start studying that in university soon. It's gonna be a thing. Like there's, I'm sure it's already a thing.
Yeah.
If actually next time I go to the pop culture conference, I should look to see if there's any papers about memes.
Yeah. Do you are you big into the memes?
Yeah, I have iFunny on my... Do you have iFunny?
No, I don't have iFunny.
How do you... What? You love memes? iFunny is...
I just have friends who post a lot of memes.
It's a meme app. And every day you get a new batch of memes and you just scroll through. It's awesome, dude. And anytime you feel kind of like, meh, take it out,
just
bro.
Just do iFunny. Yes,
iFunny. I'm telling you, it's great.
Yeah. And I like that everyone can make memes now.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people hate it because you get shitty memes. But that's what happens when you give everyone a voice, is you have dumb voices.
But it's such a cool thing, and you get to see how, like, cheeky and clever people are. Like, you'll see some shit and you're like, how do they come up with this? Yeah.
Do you watch any, like, YouTube channels of small creators that make horror movies or any movies?
No, I don't really watch any YouTube channels.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really use YouTube. I use YouTube for music and for trailers.
Yeah,
I've never really gotten into it.
I think YouTube is going to be the next, because what memes are for that political commentary, YouTube is for movies, right? Anyone can kind of make a movie now.
Yeah, that's true.
Put it online.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder who's making good content.
Huh.
You know, who's doing it. I love YouTube.
It'd be worth looking into, but the only things I ever, like, followed on YouTube were people like Ray William Johnson.
Yeah.
Back when he was starting. And, like, Jenna Marbles.
Marbles, man.
She was so funny, man. Like, she killed me with her bits. Like, there was a while that, like, I was watching and, like, following the new episodes. Because she fucking killed me. Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
You know, how to market yourself like that.
It's so impressive.
How to get people to feel like you're their best friend.
Yeah.
That's how you feel with Jenna Marbles. You watch that and you're like, I feel like I'm her friend.
Yeah, like we're having a beer right now.
Yeah, like I could say hi to her on the street and she would know who I am.
Yeah, she's the best.
It's weird. She's good at that.
And she does that better than Ray William Johnson does.
Yeah.
Way better, in my opinion.
But I didn't know this, but do you know those, like, a DSLR camera? the really high tech cameras yeah. that you can buy for like $2,000 or something.
Holy, yep.
There's a law now, and I would bet this was lobbied by the movie industry.
Hmm.
But if you record with them for more than 20 minutes, so they have to stop recording after 20 minutes. You can only do 20 minute chunks.
Okay.
And I bet that was put in place to keep
people from creating small really creatives, good stuff,
right? Like, with low budget. Only movie companies can afford, like, to because do the bit, yeah. they get taxed at a higher rate after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Of content.
That's insane. I didn't know that. That's insane.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's
crazy shit.
That sounds about right to me.
Thanks a lot, politics.
Yeah.
Good job for ruining it for a lot of
ruining everything.
Little people. but no, I just find that stuff fascinating because it's like, yeah. what are we missing out on because yeah. of this stupid fucking tax law?
Yeah. No, for real. I was talking to this dude. He's like a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But he's also like a video editor and whatever. And he's like, I forget where he's from. But anyway, he was looking for someone to help him write a script because English isn't his first language. And he's like, I want to do a romance. And I was like, oh, like I hate writing romance. But I was like, hey, I'll give it a go. And where's I going with this? Why am I talking about this?
YouTube. Small creators.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see. There we go. I'm curious to see. Sometimes I'm just going and I forget what the point was. I'm just like, I'm like talking and I'm like, crap. Anyway, but he wants to do like this short film and I'm really interested to see if he'll get it done because I kind of want to see what he can do.
Yeah.
I used to watch a lot of short films by artists back in Puerto Rico. There was like a whole market for that and they did little film festivals and stuff. It was really dope, really impressive stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you pretty ingrained in the film culture here in Dallas?
No, I don't think I am.
Okay.
Like, not at all. I feel like really isolated. Like, this is my little habitat. And you see I've made it like really
yeah.
cozy.
It's your playground here.
It's my little playground. I don't really like get out much to do stuff. Like, I always look for events, and like I have this one friend who kind of works with like promoting movies, but I'm not really close to him. Like, we really hang out. So I haven't found a way into it.
Yeah.
Really?
Is this something you like to do? Like, go to the Angelica and watch little openings and stuff?
Or... Yeah, that's the kind of, I would do that in a heartbeat, you know? I won't go watch an independent film every day. I'm not going to lie. I'm not one of those people, but.
Yeah. I feel like I need to give independent films more of a chance.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm just like, ugh, independent film, you know?
I was a hater. Like, when hipsters became big, I was like, fuck hipsters.
Me too. I hate them. I hated them so much.
Fuck your coffee.
I was at NYU when that happened. Can you imagine the breed of hipster that emerged on the streets of New York?
Yeah.
Dude, no. It was horrid.
Wearing $500 t-shirts.
Yeah. That with holes in them. Yeah. I'm like, bro.
I grew up poor, bro. I just have holes in my t-shirts.
Like, do you want... I'll show you this. Yeah. I'll sell you this one.
I have a friend that's got a really interesting theory. So I want to talk about this, but the big thing I want to get to, just so I don't forget after I tell you this, is... about independent films and sort of my like experience with them, and then I want to get your experience. But
okay.
I had a friend who has a theory about hipsters, and he's like, I think, and this is me talking from my friend, that the kids who are cool in high school went to college and studied something that was like humanities based.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe they studied literature, maybe they studied art, and then after college they couldn't find a job. And so they don't have a lot of money, so they found a way to make looking poor
chic,
fashionable.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not a bad theory. Like,
it's really not.
Probably accurate. Is there like, oh, I just because I don't have money doesn't mean I can't be the coolest kid.
Yeah.
And that's what...
It's actually very empowering.
Yeah, that's what like made it... I mean, it's a weird theory, but it's like, I think that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah, you know? I could see that.
But anyways, so my roommate in college, so this is where my first taste of independent films. I had a roommate in college and he was like really into the Angelica.
Of course.
And I came from a really small town.
So you're like, what the hell is the Angelica?
I just didn't know any of this, right? Like, all this is new to me. And I come from a small town that like, there's no PC in my town.
Okay.
Like, political correctness.
Sounds fun.
You get like laughed at if you like... If you're like, hey man, don't use that word, they'll just laugh at you and call you a pussy. And like, just, like it's that, that's my old town, right?
That's awesome.
And so I come to college and this guy comes in, just weird and eccentric, cool guy. But mm-hmm. And I think they, like, we had to take a personality test. And I bet what happened was they were like, oh, I seem chill, and this guy
is not chill.
He needs a chill roommate. Because, like, if he lived with anyone else, they would have hated him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, he did, like, cocaine all the time.
Oh,
he
my
did.
God, yeah.
He made a – but he made it to go to Rocky Horror.
Oh, my
gosh. I walk in one day, and I went to a really conservative Catholic school for college. I walk in one day with my girlfriend. We probably just got back from the chapel or some super religious shit. And he's on the floor with a bunch of his friends cutting out pages from porn magazines and taping them together to make a suit jacket. And I just walk in and I was like, what is going on? He goes, oh, I'm making a suit jacket out of porn. And I was like,
okay.
Like, I was just like, whatever, dude. All
right.
And my girlfriend was like, you don't think that's disgusting? I was like, it's porn. It's whatever.
It's whatever.
At the time, I was like, I don't care. I don't know. I grew up.
Yeah.
That's not a big fucking deal to me.
I don't really.
And that's
why
I mean, like, when I would tell other people at school, like, oh, he's doing this, they're like, oh my God, he should get kicked out. And I was like, he should get kicked out. Like, dude, let him do
his thing.
He's
just a little weird.
He's very weird, but. And so he wore it around campus.
Oh, my God.
He just put it on and, like, would walk around.
Did he ever go to class in it?
Nah. He was really respectful of that.
Okay,
he wasn't, like, he didn't like to cause, he only liked to cause a scene.
When it's appropriate?
Right. If it's, like.
Like at a Rocky Horror viewing.
Right, like, if I can show out, I'm going to show out. But
aside
from that, he was,
well, then he doesn't sound that weird at all. He seems like a perfectly normal dude to me.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He was weird.
He sounds fun, dude.
And he would always sleep naked.
Of course.
And we bunked our beds, right? And so I would sleep on the bottom bunk because I'm not climbing stuff. And and like I would sleep on my side, and then the first morning he just jumps. He fucking just jumps down from his bed. Boom.
Just junk
and
in your face?
Wakes me up. No, his ass though. Just his hairy ass right in my face.
Gross.
And I was like, I just turned around and went back to bed, man.
I was like, nope, all right, not doing
yeah,
this
he
right
was,
now.
He was a funny guy. And I don't know why I felt like I had to tell that story. But it was
because
of him.
Well, because he introduced you to independent films, right?
Right. I was like, oh, this must be a weird place to go. Like, I was like, I don't know anything about this. But if you're going like that.
There's got to be something.
I don't know if I'm off. About that life, you know. And so now I kind of want to start watching them more.
Yeah, How did I get it? Okay, I think my first... Okay. So when I first went to school, it was at Ohio State. And the first person that was really kind of like that weird artsy and they show you movies is this kid named Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived on my floor. So we would like talk and hang out or whatever. And the first movie he made me watch was... it's one of these Wes Anderson movies. They're on the train. It's with Owen Wilson. Oh, come on.
Don't know.
Grant. Ah! Oh, my God. It's a train. And it's got him.
I'll look it up.
And it's got Adrian Brody. The Darjeeling Limited. That's what it's called.
Okay.
The Darjeeling Limited. And it's Wes Anderson, so it's a little strange. But it's very colorful. It's very visually stunning, as Wes Anderson usually is. But I remember being like, this movie's kind of weird, and like, I probably won't watch it again. Because it's like a little slower, you know?
Yeah.
The shots and scenes tend to be longer, and so it just moves slower than we're used to, right? These independent movies, and that's kind of what I didn't like about him back then. When I was in New York, this other kid, I think he was from like Chile or something, we became really good friends because we spoke Spanish, and we were like, you miss home? Yeah! You miss home? Yeah, cool, let's be friends. And... he wanted to go watch this independent movie called Fishbowl.
Okay.
I remember it to this day because it traumatized me. And I went and watched it, and it was really good, but it, like, it gets real, like, so fast. It's just, like, this girl, it's in England,
mm-hmm.
not a very, doesn't look like the most wealthy part of England, and she lives with, like, her mom and her little sister. But, like, her mom is this, like, cracked out, alcoholic party animal. And she's got this, like, boyfriend that she starts bringing in the house. And the boyfriend, like, the girl ends up banging the boyfriend. And, like, it's a whole thing. And then she becomes, like, obsessed with him. And she, like, almost kidnaps his daughter. She, like, low-key kind of does, but brings her back. It's just, like, really intense and, like, really dark. And it makes you really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, this, you know, what this girl is going through. And that's what I associate with independent films. Just, like, really heavy thematic. And for someone like me, I need to be really prepared for that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it'll stay with me. It'll put me in a funk for like a while because I'll keep working through it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm with independent films, I'm kind of like...
Yeah, I need to... I just want to go... I feel like I need to be around people like that more so I can learn how to be nice to them. like in my head, you know, like when I think of that collective group.
I don't know if that's ever going to change with me. Well, it might.
To think of them like, oh man, they're cool people.
I mean, they are, but.
I don't know a lot. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know that many.
You know, because I used to hate hipsters, and when I started hanging around them more, I'm like, oh.
They're fine.
They aren't so bad.
Yeah.
Y'all just, you know, you're a little weird. That's okay. So am I. I'm weird. I like math. Well, I'm a dork.
In Puerto Rico, there's a really interesting hipster culture. Yeah. And I was like a part of that when I was there. During my master's, and I remember the first time someone called me, like, a hipster, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, take that back. Oh, no, I'm not insulting you. I'm like, yes, you are. What the hell else is that? Right? But then I was like, I think they just were talking about, like, the way that I dress.
What did you do that made you a hipster? Other than
the way he said it, he was like, I love your hipster style. And I was like, what? And he was just trying to, like, the way that I dress is, like, really unique or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, but this is actually from like Walmart and like JCPenney, like not Urban Outfitters or anything, you know. But yeah, so the culture was kind of really heavy, and initially I was kind of just like, but then I kind of became a part of it, and I didn't like maybe like, I didn't like 60% of the people, but I liked 40%. That's a big chunk for me. That's a big chunk for me.
Is that why you like movies? You like to just be with your movies?
Yeah, like me and my fictional characters, man. We hang out. We have a good time. We got the cat and the dog.
I hear you there. It's a... I don't know. I wonder how much... Like what that subculture is going to be in the future. You know, is it going to keep getting more hipster?
They're going to be lobbying for AI rights. That's going to be them.
Yeah, that's going to happen at some point. It's going to be weird.
They're going to be all about it.
I did have a question because you brought up some... Anyways, it doesn't matter where it came from. But do you like documentaries or are they boring to you?
Yep. Honestly, they're mostly boring.
Yeah.
It really has to be
I would've an interesting guessed
that. Documentary. Yeah. For me to like it.
Is it because when you watch a movie, you like to see how kind of everything has influenced this movie around it? Like, hey, what are you doing culturally about this movie? What are you implementing politically? Or like maybe they're in a subculture that they're really shining light on something.
Yes.
But a documentary is like, here's what we're talking about.
It's like history class.
Right. It's like,
here's what we're... And that's like fine. If it's a documentary about something I really love, I'll enjoy it. There's one, I think it's called, what was it called? It's a Runaways documentary.
Okay.
And it's got, I think it had like her famous corset like on the front. And oh my God, I ate that up. I was on the couch like, oh my God, like, because I am so interested in, it's really like people's stories. People that had really interesting stories, like a Freddie Mercury or a Joan Jett, a David Bowie, those documentaries I'll eat up. I'll watch Jim Morrison documentaries. Like, have you seen that show? They have it, I think, on Netflix, and every episode explains kind of the moment leading up to the death of a lot of influential people. And there's one on, like, Jim Morrison, one on Janis Joplin.
No.
It's so good, dude. And it walks you through, like, the last day or days of their lives leading up. They talk about what people theorize, like they talk to people. It's and like that kind of thing, I will eat that up.
Yeah.
I eat that up. But if it's like a documentary about the Great Wall of China, like yeah, it's interesting, but I'm really not gonna wanna watch that. You're gonna have to make me. You know?
Yeah, I wonder that because there's not a lot of documentaries that use, and I don't know if it's just because to be labeled a documentary you can't.
Yeah.
Be creative with how you present the material. You know, like maybe if you're too creative, you're no longer a documentary.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a film.
They don't want to cross genres.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's part of it. But
yeah.
I think it'd be cool if like there was a way to present the same factual information with the same interviews, but kind of put it into more of a movie.
Kind of.
Like a, yeah, like something less.
Rap, yes, but it's more interesting. Make it a little more snazzy, you mean? Nah.
Yeah.
I bet there are some, and now I kind of want to find them. I feel like I have seen documentaries that are like snazzy. Well, maybe not that snazzy.
My favorite one is Bigger, Stronger, Faster, and it's done by Chris Bell.
Oh.
And it's about steroids.
Oh.
It's a really good documentary. Icarus won an award. That's a good documentary. The guy wanted to cheat a drug test, and he wanted to show the world how easy it was to cheat a drug test. And in so, he documented when... Do you know when that whole scandal with Russia came out about their Olympic team doping? Yeah. The guy helping him cheat that drug test was the Russian doctor.
Oh.
He was a Russian doctor, and he was like the one who ran that whole...
Oh my gosh.
...doping thing. And so the guy had to... Because people were just dying all of a sudden. Like, the officials and people who were involved were just getting killed by the government.
That's
insane.
And
so the guy came to America... And he lives here now in asylum. Like, no one knows where he's at.
Jeez.
And his family's still in Russia, I think.
That's insane.
It's a crazy documentary. So the guy started with one objective and kind of fell into this big story.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was crazy.
I just thought of one that does exactly what you...
Go for it.
What's it called? It's about sleep paralysis.
Okay.
I think it's called The Nightmare, maybe, or Nightmare, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix. And it's horrifying, and it's, I mean, like, genuinely horrifying. It's kind of like watching a horror movie.
Damn.
It's very intense, and it's interviewing real people, real experiences, so you don't have the safety net of... And they do it very cinematically. Like, it's very... And they have a lot of recreations.
Yeah.
And so that one I've recommended to a lot of people because I'm impressed at how good it is, but I also don't recommend it that much because every time someone learns about sleep paralysis, it starts happening to them. And it's like contagious. You need to check it out. Just check it out.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll go do that now. Definitely go do that.
Go check it out. It's so good.
Cool. I feel like getting it. That sounds a good idea for me.
But it's interesting.
What's it called?
I think it's called The Nightmare. I can check it up real quick.
The Nightmare?
Yeah. Does right like the Nightmare Sleep Paralysis movie, and it'll come up.
Yeah. I will check that out. Sorry, I'm just taking some notes. Yeah, there's a lot with documentaries. I love documentaries, but I only like them about... I mean, it's like anyone, about something you really want to learn about. That's why I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, I think in general, I dig comedy. That's kind of like my...
I love comedy, too, though. Like
it's changing a lot.
It is.
Like, stand-up... It's weird, because stand-up is so big right now.
It is. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think anytime something blows up, it's good.
Yeah.
I think there's always, like, I've been in a stand-up comedy since I was a kid. You know, I grew up listening to Richard Pryor, listening to, like, Carlos Mencia before he got outed. You know, George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez.
Yeah.
A lot of Hispanic comics. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Kings of Comedy, watched all that.
Yeah.
Watched BET's comedy shows growing up. And, you know, I like that it's getting big because I think... The more people who can get into it, the better.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna get better talent, but we're also gonna get garbage.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's not that I'm not happy about it. I think I'm just kind of nostalgic for when it wasn't everywhere.
When it was like meant for the underground scene.
Yeah, like I'm a little bit nostalgic about that.
Yeah.
It also obviously made it harder to find, right? Like good comedy. It's nice that you can go into Netflix, and there's like literally like a stand-up section with like new talent that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
I'm so hesitant to check it out though.
Yeah, but I guess that's how it starts, right? Because like that's what saloons used to, or not saloons, oh my god, like clubs though. clubs are like for underground people.
Yeah.
And clubs are also one of the first places where they weren't segregated.
Yeah.
In America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with comedy. Like places that showed comedy and would have concerts, they were also not... They were one of the first places to not have segregation.
Yeah.
To sort of be, like, socially progressive.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing now, but comedy's just not that. Like, it's burlesque now.
Yeah.
Right? You look at burlesque, and that's where, like, the trans people can go, and the LGBT community can go, and just kind of let out and be themselves. And I'm sure one day, like, in 50 years, burlesque is going to be, like... It's going to blow up. People are going to just... That's a thing you do now. You go to burlesque shows.
It will. I mean, it's already kind of, at least in the LGBTQ community, it's already like a thing. There are burlesque shows in Dallas. Oh my god. I've never been to one. I've been wanting to go to one, but I see the announcements all the time.
Yeah, one of my episodes features a burlesque dancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and but I think that's what's going to happen is right now it's for the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
But in 20 years, everyone's going to go.
It's going to be, yeah.
And they're probably going to have the same feeling that you do about comedy. Like, I miss when it was
the
just
nostalgia. That's us. I'm going to be one of those people if I'm still around.
But if you talk to burlesque dancers, a lot of them are like, oh, I wish I could make more money doing
Absolutely. No, I totally get it. It's like, good for them.
Yeah, so it's
I prefer it that way because that way they can make a living and we still have it, you know? Yeah. But I'll still have the nostalgia.
It just has to get commercialized.
It has to. No, and they deserve for it to get commercialized, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird thing with
it's when selfish stuff, nostalgia.
Yeah, but it's also weird when things get commercialized, right?
Yeah, because something, a little bit of the magic kind of dissipates.
Right. Like, look at Twitter. Twitter was a place where anyone could go on and just talk shit, and it's kind of like that now.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the best Twitter, like, I think the only company that does Twitter right is Wendy's.
Oh,
they're like
yeah.
the only one
completely savage.
who did Twitter the way everyone was doing Twitter before companies got on Twitter.
Yeah, it's like talking smack.
Yeah, they're just talking shit to
being
people.
Being cheeky,
and
yeah.
it's great. And but then you have like some companies like, oh, our stocks went up, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we don't care. Keep that in Business Insider. Come on. We're not here for that. Yeah.
Where's the memes, bro?
Yeah, give me a meme.
Post a meme.
Post a meme and put your stock information on there somehow.
Yeah, so I like that comedy's blowing up.
Yeah,
but cool. You're right. We get a lot of garbage. There's a whole lot. Like, a lot of those Netflix specials.
Yeah, that's why I'm so hesitant to watch them. My sister told me to watch one recently, and I'm like...
Which one?
Is it Eliza? Millennial something? She's blonde.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't like her.
Yeah, so that's the one she wants me to watch. And I've seen the preview, and it's very, like, slapsticky.
Right.
She does, like, a lot of the faces and the movement, like, kind of like Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, like, really hesitant. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that great.
It's hard for female comics, man.
It is.
Because they have to just joke. Like, what I see, and I'm not saying... I don't know if it's because they feel like they have to or because someone tells, but it's always just about like having a vagina and having periods. And that's like,
it's
great.
Like, it's the only niche they can have is like make people laugh talking about the parts men don't have. Like legit, that's it. Like that's
and,
the only thing.
And I don't think it's I think the women comics are probably funny, but I don't know why that they all, a lot of them seem to
choose to do that. I feel like a lot of them now maybe are following Amy Schumer, which is a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But do you know Angela Johnson?
No.
What? Oh my dude, only female comic that I can think of that I'm like, that bitch is awesome.
Yeah. What does she do?
Well, first she used to be like an NFL cheerleader.
Okay.
And then she just said, like, she went into comedy, but she's hilarious. She's like really small and like Hispanic. And she doesn't do that style of comedy.
I have seen her.
The vagina period thing. Like, she's just
hilarious. I have seen her comedy.
She does a lot of, like, imitations and stuff.
Yes,
like,
she's
voices.
Funny. She's well, she does great. Bits.
She does actual
she's
bits,
She's like, here's something I experience. Because that's
she'll,
like
reenact
the,
it for you, you know?
That's, like, the essence of comedy, right?
Yes.
It's, like,
situational things.
What's happening every day that's funny.
Yes, exactly.
And I think, you know, it's a gift to be able to... get everyone on board with the joke.
It's such a talent, man.
Yeah, she's good.
It is such a talent. She is so good. I love her. She's great. Yeah.
But don't check that out. Do you know who Tom Segura is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah.
He blew up now, thank God.
Good for him. That's awesome.
He's a great comic. His wife's pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's pretty good, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Christina Pazinski, she's also on Netflix.
I think I know her. Do I know her? Maybe.
She's funny.
Yeah, I'll check her out, though.
She, like, talks about having a kid because she just recently had a kid, so...
Oh.
It just happenstancely, it's, like, female humor, but it's...
Yeah.
It gets really graphic.
But
it's pretty fucking funny.
I bet it does. baby humor and, like, birthing humor is always great.
Yeah.
And also terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, we got to wrap this up soon, but I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there anything... Are there any movies that you think people need to watch... If they're not, like, for me, who doesn't like horror, because that's what you love,
yeah.
right? What's something that I can watch that's recent that's not, like the mainstream horror today. That's good.
Do you want like a campy horror or more like an actual horror film?
I would say like if I've liked a horror movie in the past, I've liked, like I like Get Out, that was good.
Okay.
I like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh god.
I liked Paranormal Activity.
Okay. I mean the fourth kind, you need to watch just because I had that same experience you had with Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
And it's good because it's a mockumentary, so it's a different kind of. I will say this: it is a little dark.
Okay.
Fourth kind. That's fair. It's a little bit dark.
Yeah, but some people are into that. I don't know, like, my favorite movie is Kung Fu Panda.
It's so good though. It's so funny.
Yeah, but it's all like bright and funny and
yeah.
I like light in my movies.
Yeah. You know? What about this one's a little bit okay, but honestly, this is one of the greatest horror movies I've ever seen. Came out in theaters, and it's not just shock value. It's called The Rite. Have you seen it?
No.
I believe it was like 2010 or 11-ish. It's got Anthony Hopkins in it. And he plays the role of this, he's an exorcist in Rome.
Oh, okay.
And there's this, I write a paper about this.
So movie. Is it The Rite, R-I-T-E?
Yes.
Okay.
So the premise is that the young protagonist, he's studying to be a priest, but he's going to drop out. And one of his higher-ups is like, don't do it yet. Let me send you to Rome to study with this guy, and let's see what happens. And it goes from there, because he's kind of like a non-believer, so the movie is him kind of getting his faith back, or just like figuring out. Oh, like
the guy
who's
going to be a priest is like...
Yeah, but he's studying under Anthony Hopkins, who's this exorcist, and what's going on in the movie is actually very terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he's just following him along with these possession cases and watching as he does exorcisms and works through it. And eventually, like, things start, like, he starts kind of falling into it, I guess. Let's put it that way. But it's excellent. The ending is excellent.
It's called The Rite?
The Rite.
I might check that out.
It's an excellent film. The music is good, too.
Do you believe in possession?
I do.
You do?
110%.
Okay.
A lot of people don't. They think it's so weird, but, oh my god.
What makes you believe in it?
Well, I'm Catholic, right?
Right. Samesies.
And back home, samesies. Back home, I went to this Catholic school, and I think some of the priests were, like, licensed exorcists. There was at least one, I
right.
know. And so, there were stories from that. And then there's also, just, like, stuff that happens to you. Have you ever had anything weird happen to you?
100, all the time.
Okay, all the time. Right, so I've had certain things happen to me. And I've had, like, all these crazy dreams and with the sleep paralysis, just things that have happened to me where I know that shit's real. I don't mess with that. I don't play.
I don't know, man. I have a hard time with, like, that part of being Catholic.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to believe possessions are real to be Catholic.
No, like, you don't. Can,
just for people out there, like,
if
you think that's part of the church, like, oh, they believe in...
No, it's not.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not, like, a part of it. Yeah. It's not, like, a big...
It's not, like, required.
It's not dogmatic.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess because back in... what they would think were possessions then were just, like, mental...
Psychosis.
Right, like, some sort of...
Yeah.
development issue that a person had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wonder if that's still happening. Like, maybe something else.
Probably.
I believe in people acting out of their damn mind sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's possible.
Yeah.
And I think that can... But I think it's more subtle than, like...
There's a movie you should watch if you haven't seen it that's about that. And it's called The Last Exorcism. I wrote a paper about this one, too. And it's bright. It's not dark because it's done in the style of a documentary. And it's this preacher who... has been performing exorcisms his whole life. But he admits that they're fake. And he's going to record the last one to prove that it's fake because a lot of people die during exorcisms and he wants it to stop or whatever.
Whoa.
So he's trying to expose it. And the way he puts it is, he's like, I don't think I'm cheating people. He's like, people have something that's burdening them. They're acting it out in a certain way. I'm giving them what they need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
So call it what you call it. I'm giving these people the service that they think that they need so they can continue on with their lives.
So almost like a placebo effect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. And wow. I was like, that's really interesting. And not infuriating at all. When
yeah,
you
and
about
I'd believe
that.
I'd believe someone thinks they're possessed.
Totally, totally,
and they
totally.
Start acting nuts.
Yeah.
And people do that for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
Any number of reasons.
Yeah, there's another... Sorry, I know we said we can cut it off, but there's just so much going on.
Yeah.
Like the whole trans issue.
Yeah.
Right? For teenagers.
Yeah.
Have you read these studies?
No.
So this woman did these studies like in 2014, or mm-hmm. she cited them in a paper she wrote, but they looked at teenagers who were coming out as trans,
mm-hmm.
and it was like almost unanimously female, and they're all very similar.
Hmm.
And so it's like, but when they got, because the doctor can't say like someone's trans or not,
right?
Or they can get fired,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't be a doctor. You can't be like, you don't have gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
but like they, but off the record, these doctors are like, these girls don't have it. They just, it's for other reasons. Like, you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, you want to be accepted. And so they hypothesize that stuff. But it's real similar to what you're saying. Like, I think a lot of people have these, or I guess is what this guy's saying in the documentary about people who act possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're acting like, I think they genuinely believe they're possessed. Absolutely. But I think it's something that.
Yeah.
They're not genuinely possessed, though. There's something else that's manifesting itself that way.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly believe in it, but I feel like probably most cases are exactly what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of cases that have been real might not be that many. Maybe it's a lot. I don't freaking know. But I just genuinely... Yeah,
I wouldn't say it couldn't happen.
Right?
Or it's not... Because I believe in the devil...
Yeah.
But I don't believe the devil has like a pitchfork and a tail.
Oh, definitely not.
You know what I mean? Like, I think when you get into your spiritual life, as it gets deeper,
mm-hmm.
that shit is like nonsensical.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the devil is just subtle.
Yeah.
And fucks with you.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, it's like the worst roommate ever. That's what the devil is. the worst roommate ever. Like, just going around fucking little shit up.
Yeah. And you know? So I don't think it's, I like, even, I don't, just anything. Like, your ability to hate someone in traffic is like, comes from that kind of anger in you that, and so I don't know. So like when it comes to possessions, I wouldn't say it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Or it hasn't happened.
Exactly.
I would just say like when I see them, I'm like, skeptical.
I feel like my immediate response to someone claiming that would be skepticism as well. You'd really have to like.
You have to show me some shit.
You really
spin your head around.
Yeah,
bro.
You got to show me some shit. Like some irrefutable.
Move a car.
Move
with
a car.
Your head.
Lift me. Levitate me. Like, you know? Because I also know that people like to fuck with you and they like attention and shit. You never know. You know?
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
Dude, you got that shit everywhere, man. Yeah, sorry. I could keep talking about this stuff forever just because that stuff bugs me. Like, mm-hmm. I talked to a vegan actually yesterday. Vegan.
Wow, fun.
And, well, she's like a vegetarian, so she's trying to go full vegan.
Okay.
And I was, but she's really into food, and I didn't know that she was a vegan. And I said, "Oh, do you know Dr. Rhonda Patrick?" And this girl goes, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Oh, she's like a PhD in food nutrition and biology. Like, she's fucking smart. She's a scientist."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well, if she's not a vegan, I won't follow her." And I was like, "You immediately can't think that. Like,
oh,
you gotta
my God.
Like,
no."
And then she was like, "Well," I was like, "There's just science, though. Like, there's just facts. Like, I don't know what to." So we're talking, and she goes, "Well, there's plant protein." The last episode we recorded was about this, but it's like, I'm talking to, and luckily she could talk about it, so she wasn't like getting angry.
Okay.
But it was cool seeing her like listen to evidence. She's like, "Oh, studies were done that showed that," and it's like, "Yeah, like a lot of them, almost." There's, it's almost unanimous. It's like global warming. Like 98% of scientists agree that
it's real.
This is shit that's going on.
It's a thing.
So.
Oh man, poor girl.
It was wild.
I
mean, I don't care what you eat, man. But it was funny talking about misinformation.
Yeah.
And I don't like it, and so that's why like when we have the church saying like, "Oh, we have possession cases," it's like, what kind of mental disorders are we not telling the public exist?
Yeah.
Because of shit like this?
Yeah. Yeah. Know? No, absolutely.
Especially now with the church, man. We got a lot going on, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah.
We always do.
I know my faith, and I'm very strong in my faith, but I have issues with
the
church. Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, we're in that same boat.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Never-ending struggle.
Yeah, hashtag damn it. That's how I feel.
Hashtag damn it. It's actually perfect.
It's like hard sometimes, man. It's a struggle. But anyways, we're digressing.
Yeah.
Where can people find you if they want to follow you? Are you active on Instagram and stuff?
With your yeah, actually, I am on Instagram. I should probably look at what my name is. I am on there quite a bit, too, though. I guess just not looking at my own stuff.
Yeah.
There I am. It's Lizbet012.
Perfect. Yeah. Lizbet 012.
Hopefully they spell it right. It's a complicated one.
Yeah, we'll put it on things yeah. for you.
So I'm
too.
On Instagram there, and
anything else that you want people to find you at?
Oh, not really. I think that's the biggest one, right? That's what the kids are into these days.
Yeah,
the Instagram.
That's the gram. if you have movie questions or suggestions for, or vice versa, you know.
Yeah, anything.
You can find her there.
Yeah.
Her up. And that's it, folks.
Awesome.
Enjoy your day, and we are out.